Amen. Are y'all ready to learn something from God's Word? To be encouraged through God's Word? Hopefully this is an encouraging message today. Okay. Hopefully this will be an uplifting message. And because we're speaking of joy, and if you're speaking of joy, how can you not be excited? Amen. How can you not be happy when you're speaking of joy? I mean, today's already been a joyous day for me. I was able to baptize Micah in the second service, our daughter, and just a wonderful, you know, just sweet moment as a dad. You know, I got to get a pastoral and dad part there, and just amazing. And so I could just go home right now and call it a day and say it was wonderful, okay? But we still got a message to do, right? Yeah, golly. Jeez, that was your all's a moment to step up there and say, yes, we would not ever want to leave without having a message. I'll try it again. We still have to have a message today, right? Okay, it's too late anyway, though. Okay. Thank you. Let's stand for the honor of reading God's Word. We're going to read Luke chapter 2, verses 8 and 11. We'll be in Isaiah 12 for the text, but we'll read Luke 2, 8 and 11. It says, in the same region there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Notice what the angels came to declare. They say, I bring you good news of great joy. I mean, I realize there's great joy in the house today. So look at your neighbor and tell him, say, there's great joy in the house today. Now look at your other neighbor, see if you can do it a little better, and say, there's great joy in the house today. We are going to talk about the joy of the root of Jesse, that Jesus brings our hope and he brings joy. Let us pray. Father, we thank you so much for this day. Lord, may we come to your word and be motivated and encouraged and challenged, Lord. Father, just to rest and to express the joy of the Lord. Help us to honor you and to love you and serve you the way that we ought. Speak to our hearts, Father. Help us today draw closer to you. Help me, Lord, to preach in a plain, clear way, so simple and easy that a child could understand. Out of all the people in the house this morning, there is strict judgment on my life and rightly dividing your word of truth, and I accept that place. For it's in Jesus' name that I pray, in his name that I preach. Amen. You may be seated. We're going to look at Isaiah 12. And when we get into Isaiah 12 and we notice how it begins, it's a song. It's kind of a psalm, and it's reminiscent of the song of Moses. Now, if you're familiar with the Bible and we're familiar with the history of the Israelites, when the Jewish people found themselves in Egypt, they became a slave nation, and they were under the bondage of the rule of the Pharaoh. And God sent them a deliverer. His name was Moses. And he sent them Moses. And Moses led the people out of Egypt. And they came to the Red Sea. And when they came to the Red Sea, it was like, uh-oh, now what? It's like a dead end. It's like, great, thank you, Lord. You sent us out in the middle of the wilderness. And now we came to this water. And now we're going to die. And God does something miraculous. He splits the water. And they walk through on dry ground. And after that miraculous deliverance, there's a song of Moses, and there's a celebration. There's a moment where they break out in song, and it's recorded in Scripture, and that's just the way it should be. And then, I mean, when you experience a great deliverance, doesn't it make you want to sing? Doesn't it bring joy when you've been in a situation where you've been in bondage, but then you've been set free? It ought to make a shout come out of you. What do you think? It ought to make you sing a song. It ought to make you declare the goodness of God. And so in Isaiah chapter 11 that we looked at last week, in chapter 10 of Isaiah, the Lord had told them, judgment's coming. I'm bringing my hand of judgment. I'm going to lop you off. I'm judging the house of Israel. And then I'm going to judge the Assyrian Empire. And I'm going to cut them down. and there's going to be nothing but cut down trees all over the forest, but there's going to be a ray of hope come. There's going to be the root of Jesse that will spring up and grow. And that's what we talked about last week, the hope. That even in the midst of God's judgment, there was the hope of the root of Jesse, that there will be a Messiah. There will one day be a deliverance. There will one day be when I bring you back as a people. And Isaiah 12 here is a song of celebration of when that moment happens. And so it begins by saying, then you will say on that day, well, what's the day? A day of redemption. He says, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for although you were angry with me, your anger is turned away and you comfort me. He told the Israelites, there will be a day when I bring you back into the land, when my anger with you will be no more, and I will comfort you, and I will be your God. When we look at this text, and we look at it, looking at it through a New Testament lens, and we look at how this can relate to us today, we are brought to the awareness that Paul speaks of those who are not in Christ as being slaves to sin. So those of us who are Christians now, but were not, at one point we were in bondage. And though we weren't maybe a slave under a physical ruler, we were a slave to sin, the Bible says. And that Satan was our taskmaster. And we were a slave to sin, but there was something that happened that changed it all. There was an exodus that happens in a Christian's life that happened at the cross of Calvary. When Jesus died on the cross, he took on our sin so that we might be made right before a holy God. And so therefore, when we were in chains to our sin, and Jesus came and he was crucified for our sin, rose again on the third day, he broke those chains, and anyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, the Bible says, will be saved, we will be delivered, and now we have experienced a deliverance from the bondage of the chains of sin. Amen. Amen. The Bible says it this way in Romans chapter 5, verses 8 and 9. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through him. Notice those words, the wrath of God. Isaiah 12:1, it expressed that you will say on that day, I will give thanks to you, O Lord, for although you were angry with me, your anger is turned away. Aren't you glad that the wrath of God has been satisfied in Christ Jesus? You see, there is a reality of the wrath of God. I know we don't like to talk about it. You know, in our culture today, we're so sensitive. It hurts my inner child when you speak of the wrath of God. Oh, God can't be wrathful. No, God is a wrathful God. He's a loving God, but he's also a God of judgment and wrath. But he has a very long wick. He's very patient. And he wants and desires people to come to repentance. And because of the cross of Christ, he has allowed salvation to be available to all who will call upon his name. And so the Lord doesn't want any to perish. He wants all to come to repentance to him. And when we do, the wrath of God is satisfied on his son. There's two ways that you can pay for your sin. You can pay for it, or Jesus can. If you pay for your sin, it works like this. Well, I don't need Jesus. I'm a pretty good guy, you know. I see some of these people that call themselves Christians, and I'm just as good as them. So if they're getting in, I'm getting in. So I just do the best I can do, and I'll be okay. That's called the Kentucky faith, and it doesn't work. You can go that route. You have that freedom to choose that route. But on the day of judgment, God will say, my wrath has not been satisfied, so therefore you will pay the penalty of that for eternity, separated from God in hell. That'll be your payment. Or, at this moment, when we live in the age of grace, we can say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner, and I need a Savior, and I believe you died on the cross for my sin. I can't save myself. I can't redeem myself. Come into my life, Lord Jesus, and save me.
And the wrath that he had on me now gets transferred over to his son. And all of my sin gets accounted to Jesus, and he bore my sin, and then he imputes to me his righteousness. And so therefore I am made righteous before a holy God, not because of anything that I have done, not because of my works, but because of the work of Christ on the cross. And so I can stand before him on the day of judgment, and he looks at me and he says, my wrath has been satisfied in my son. Enter into the glory of the Lord. And when we have experienced God's grace, and when we have encountered his forgiveness, and we have had redemption, we can say, as Isaiah said, I am so thankful, Lord, that your anger has turned away from me, and now I have received your mercy and your grace and your love. How many of y'all can say, boy, I'm glad I've received his mercy today, huh? I'm glad I received his mercy. I'm glad I received his love, because I would not want to experience his wrath. Amen. Verse 2. Isaiah 12, behold, it says, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid. For the Lord God is my strength and song, and he has become my salvation. He says, the Lord God, God is my salvation. He's my everything. He's my protection. He's my comfort. He is my Prince of Peace. He is my Counselor. He is the Mighty One. He is the Holy One of Israel. He guards me and he surrounds me. He is my salvation. And so when I'm in Jesus, I'm safe. Isn't that good news? That's something to be joyful about, huh? That's something to be hopeful about. There is joy in the root of Jesse. Psalmist says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He goes on, he says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because you are with me. And you're rod and your staff that comfort me, to protect me. He is our shield. He is our comfort. He is our salvation. Psalm 91 says, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. For it is he who delivers you from the snare of the trapper and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his pinions, and under his wings you may seek refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and bulwark. You will not be afraid of the terror by night, or of the arrow that flies by day, of the pestilence that stalks in darkness, or of the destruction that lays waste at noon. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not approach you. That's being safe. That's having confidence that God has his care over you. And when you have confidence that God has his care over you, you can trust him. That's what Isaiah 12 is saying. I will trust and not be afraid. He's like that big brother that's watching over you, right? He ain't gonna let anybody pick on you. You know, the devil, he's a bully. Satan, he likes to pick at you. And he likes to intimidate you. He likes to try to steal from you and kill and destroy your life if he can. He tries to attack you. But we have a God who is our protector. It's good to know when you got somebody that's strong on your side, amen? I mean, when you're confident in the one who's protecting you, you ain't worried, right? It's good to have somebody that knows how to fight if you're in a fight, amen? Have y'all ever gotten a fight and you didn't know how to fight? Didn't turn out too well, did it? You're with a group of guys, and they didn't know how to fight. You're in trouble. In trouble. I was in eighth grade, and at our school at Fairview, it was 7th through 12th in one building, okay? And so I'm an eighth grader, and me and one of my friends, we kind of got dropped off about right at the same time, and we're walking towards the door into the cafeteria. That's where we had to report into. And there's this big junior. I think he was a junior, maybe he'd been a senior, big junior, senior. He's standing there with his arm like this, like if this was the door entry, he's standing blocking it like this, you know. Well, in eighth grade, you know, I wasn't as bulky and buffed up like I am now. You know, not a big kid, you know, eighth grader. And my friend, he was even smaller than me. So we're walking in and we're going to go into the cafeteria. And he's like, "What are y'all doing?" We're like, "I'm going to school." He goes, "I don't think so." He's like, "You ain't getting in today." We're like, "Okay." We didn't really want to be at school anyway, so we thought, "Man, we'll just stand outside." You know, we weren't going to try to fight him. He's a lot bigger than we were. And then out the next guy out came, and we're sitting there standing. Here comes Sean Wilson. Now, Sean was in the same grade that we were in, but he was a karate guy. And he had already got his black belt. And he went to all these different competitions, all kinds of stuff. He was really good. And he could do some type of twirling kick. I don't know how he did it. I can't demonstrate it for you. And he would kick, he could kick the under thing of a backboard. So he could actually kick the backboard with his foot. It's pretty impressive. Anyway, so we're sitting there, and he's this senior, you know, or junior. I can't remember what he was. Bigger than us. He's blocking his way. And Sean comes up to him, and I mean, we're sitting there. He's like, "What are you guys doing?" He's like, "What?" We're like, "Well, he's not letting us in the building." He's like, "What?" Like, "Yeah, he's not going to let us in the building." He's like, "All right." So he comes over, and he says, "Excuse me, we need to move." So he goes to move his arm, and he pushes it back. He's like, "We need to get in the school building." He's like, "I don't think so." He's like, "I'm going to ask you one more time to let us in the school building." He's like, "You ain't getting in." So he goes to move his arm again, and then the guy, he hits Sean in the face, punches him in the face. He goes, bam. And then he swings to hit him again. And at that time, his karate instinct has kicked in. And he grabs this guy's arm. He does some type of thing to it. And he's got this guy, this junior guy is bullying us. You know, he's like, he's on the ground going, "Ah, ah, 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 ah." He's screaming like a little girl, you know. He's like, "Oh gosh, quit, stop, stop. You're going to break my arm." And so he lets off. He's like, "Gosh, you about broke my arm." You know, so we walk past him. We're like, let him know, "Yo, you know, we could do that. And, you know, we got Sean with us now. Yo, what are you going to do? Let us see you next time." Yeah. When you got somebody that knows how to fight, you know, yeah. When you've got God on your side, Satan can come up and he can kind of pick and he can kind of distract and he can't do it. It's like, "What are you doing? What are you going to do to me?" The Lord is my shield. He is my protector. He is my strength. I'm going to trust in him. So no matter what disappointing news comes my way, no matter what sadness events happen to me, no matter what depressive type of thoughts enter my mind, no matter what my world situation is looking like, it doesn't matter. I will trust in the Lord and know that he's got me protected. I may have to go through some muddy stuff. I may have to have some heartache. There may be suffering. There may be pain. But I will make it. I will not be taken out of this world. I will be kept by the power and the grace of an almighty God. He is my strength. I will trust in him. But that brings joy. Where can you get that kind of hope? Where can you get that kind of joy? That only comes from the Lord. Look at verse 3. It says, "Therefore, you will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation." Isn't that good? Just take time this week and meditate on that verse. You will joyously draw water from the springs of salvation. As the children of Israel were wandering in the wilderness and God provides them food and he provides them with manna and quail, and when they were in need of water, all Moses had to do was strike the rock and water would come out and supply them with water. Jesus is that rock where the water flowed. Jesus is the living water. Remember his encounter with the woman at the well, and the lady was asking, and he was asking that lady for some water, and he tells her that if you drink this water, you will thirst again. But in John chapter 4, verse 14, it says, "But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him shall never thirst, but the water that will give him will become in him a well of water springing up to eternal life." He says, if you drink of me, you'll never thirst again. Now, he's not speaking physically there, right? He's talking spiritually. If you drink of me, you'll never thirst again. Why is that, and how is that, and how does that happen? That's because the water that he refers to is the Holy Spirit who lives inside of us, and he is a flowing water of salvation that speaks to us, leads us, guides us, helps conform us into his image, molds us, shapes us. He has redeemed us. He seals us. He protects us. He lives inside of us. And we have this living water living inside of us and flowing through us. And we'll never thirst again. You know, there's a lot of things that I've desired since being a Christian. There's one thing I've never desired. After I truly, genuinely was converted and was saved, I have never had the desire to be saved again. Right? I've never had the desire to be saved again. Why? Because the living water lives inside of me. The Holy Spirit lives inside of me. So I know that I'm His. I desire to know Him more. I desire to grow closer to Him, to serve Him more faithfully, to honor Him. I desire to walk closer in step with Him. But salvation's been satisfied through Him. In John chapter 7, verse 37, on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and he cried out, saying, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. He who believes in me, as the scripture said, from his innermost being will flow rivers of living water." And John goes on after that to define and clarify that he's speaking of the Holy Spirit. How many of you all have been in those moments when you've been maybe in your Bible study, you've been maybe in a worship service, you've just been alone in your car? Maybe it's been a moment when you've been broken. And it seems like your world has just been, you know, shattered. But the living water begins flowing up, and the presence of God enters into your mind, and you realize that, man, I'm a child of God. And you have moments where you just have sweet communion with God and fellowship with God, and you experience strength with God. How many of y'all have ever experienced those close moments with God? They're amazing. They're wells of water. It's living water. It's joyously drawing from the water in prayer, in Bible study, in quiet time, in faithfulness and obedience to Him. And in that day, verse 4, you will say, "Give thanks to the Lord. Call on His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Make them remember that His name is exalted. Praise the Lord in song, for He has done excellent things. Let this be known throughout the earth." That was God's call to the people of Israel. Every time that God would deliver them and bring them in, He'd say, "I want you to sing to me, and I want you to make my deeds known. I want people around to hear." Why? Because God has always been interested in people from all nations and tribes coming to Him and knowing Him and believing in Him. And so when we're redeemed and when God's done a great deliverance in our life, we ought to let it be known. Amen? It ought to produce a song on our lips. We ought to sing about His goodness. We ought to shout about His goodness. We ought to be able to declare His goodness among the peoples where we live and where we work, all that area. We need to sing in here. We need to worship in here, but we also need to worship out there. This is like the locker room, you know. If anybody's played in sports, you know, you got the locker room. And you get in there, and the coach gets you in there, and you're talking about the game plan and all this stuff, and the coach is trying to pump you up, and they'll, "Come on, let's go." And then you get out of the locker room, "Yeah, here you go," and you run on the field or the court or whatever, you know, to play the game. Well, this is the moment where we're kind of like in our locker room environment, right? And we're up here getting pumped up, talking about how great God is, and we're going to leave this place, we're going to enter the world. It's time, game on. It's time to be ready. This is time to encourage and lift one another up and praise our God and King. You know, the Bible tells us that we got to declare His goodness. Psalm 105:1 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the people." 1 Chronicles 16:8, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples." You hear that? Both, they said the same thing. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Speak of all His wonders. glory in his holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord in his strength. Seek his face continually. You see that? Seek his face continually. Every day, seek his face. Lord, this is the day you've given me. Let me live it for your glory. Let me honor you. Let me live faithfully. Let me share the joy and the hope that I have in you, Lord. May I make it known to the peoples. You know, the angels came and they said, I bring you good news of great joy. We ought to be like the angels and spread that joy, right? Because the angels don't declare the gospel, we do. We've been given the task to share the gospel. So I think here's what we need to do. We need to sing and shout about his name, don't you? Wednesday night, we had a really neat Wednesday night experience. We broke up into 7 different groups. And in our 7 groups, there was one point where we brought a little time, a little stopwatch out. And I said, we got 3 minutes. 3 minutes to name as many people that you all know that does not know the Lord, that needs to know Jesus. 3 minutes. Ready, set, go. Boom. 3 minutes. Tick down. Okay. 3 minutes in it. Stop. All right. We read the names out. We counted them up. 414 people. In 3 minutes. Of people who need to desperately encounter the living Savior. So, you know what I think we need to do? I think we need to go tell it on the mountain. Over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Amen? Now, where is our mountain? Our mountain is in the schools. Our mountain is in the banks. It's in the hospitals. It's at the car lots. It's at the grocery store. It's in our neighborhood. It's on your sport team. It's in our county. The mountain is everywhere you go, where you rub elbows with people, where you live, your family. That's the mountain. It doesn't mean, you know, to go to Natural Bridge, and we all take a trip out to Natural Bridge, which is a pretty neat experience and great hike, and then just get to the Natural Bridge and say, hey, just want the world to know Jesus is born, 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 born. No, it means we've got to be out there sharing the love of Jesus in a very practical way, in living our lives faithfully before him, living it in repentance, living it in humility, living it with genuine, authentic faith, and then being able to point at people and say, hey, man, have you ever encountered Jesus? He brings joy that the world can't offer. Do you know him today? Have you experienced his joy? Verse 6. Cry aloud. And what? Shout for joy, O inhabitants of Zion, for great in your midst is the Holy One of Israel. Why should you shout for joy? Because God is in your midst. And when God's among you, that's reason to shout joyfully. The kingdom of God, it's kind of a unique moment, you know. We have the already and not yet tension. The kingdom of God is already here, but yet not yet fully realized. Jesus, when he's speaking to the Pharisees in Luke 17:20, now having been questioned by the Pharisees as to when the kingdom of God was coming, he answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with signs to be observed, nor will they say, look, here it is, or there it is, for behold, the kingdom of God is in your midst. Jesus is saying, the kingdom of God is where I am. Because I bring the kingdom. When Nicodemus was asking Jesus about the kingdom, he says to Nicodemus in John 3:3, Jesus answered and says, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot discern the kingdom of God. You cannot enter into the kingdom of God because it's spiritual. Remember Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If it were, he told Pilate, they'd be fighting for me. So there's already a kingdom that's spiritual in nature, but yet there's not yet the kingdom that's coming that will be physical reality, where he will rule as King of Kings and Lord of Lords, and he will rule. But right now we live in the moment where we invite people into the kingdom through the gospel. You understand? Does that make sense? Mark 9:1, and Jesus was saying to them, he brought the three, this is at the Mountain of Transfiguration, and he brought his three closest disciples up there, and he says, "Truly I say to you, there are some of those who are standing here who will not taste death until they see the kingdom of God after it has come with power." And we know that after the resurrection of Christ, he enters into the upper room, they experience the power of God in a very unique way. He also shows himself, they touch him, they actually touch the resurrected Lord. He eats with them. They see Jesus glorified. The kingdom has come. Matthew 18:20 says, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, I am there in your midst." Where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in your midst. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I think we got that covered. He's here. God is present. The Holy Spirit, he moves. He lives inside of us. He speaks to hearts. He preaches better than I do. He preaches to your heart things that I don't even say. That's how he works. For some who aren't believers here today, he begins speaking to your heart and tapping you on the shoulder and saying, "Hey, you need to trust in me." And you feel it. You kind of hear it, but you don't hear it. It's not like an audible voice, but you're speaking to you in your heart. You're kind of, and some people get all freaked out and think, "What's going on?" It's called conviction. And the Holy Spirit will woo you and draw you to himself. And if that's you this morning, guess what? I want to invite you to come. Don't shake it off. Don't put it off. Doesn't do any good to shake it off, does it, Adam? But boy, when you finally surrender, oof, like the weight just lifts off. There's a burden. Satan doesn't want you to be saved. He doesn't want you to come to Christ. So this morning, if he's speaking to you to be saved, step out. Run to the Lord. Let him be your shelter and strength, your God. Because there is coming a day when he's coming back. And the only way that you will be with him in eternity in his kingdom is if you enter it now through the cross and resurrection. Revelation 7:17 says, "For the Lamb in the center of the throne will be their shepherd, and he will guide them to the springs of the water of life, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes." There will be a day when we come and we live physically, when our bodies are resurrected and we have a new glorified body, and Jesus is reigning in his eternal kingdom, and we will run and we will dance and we will jump and we will shout and we will clap, and the lame will walk, the deaf will hear, the mute will speak. And we will run and leap with joy because we will be forever in the presence of God. But you can't get into that kingdom until you enter into it spiritually through Jesus, through his cross and resurrection. So today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. For today is the day of salvation. Today, today, today. Not tomorrow, today. Those of us who know him, we've been saved. During this invitation time, I want to challenge you, encourage you. Would you give him praise today? Would you thank him for saving you? Would you thank him for his great mercy? If you need to come and pray for somebody or pray with someone, please do that. This morning, if you don't know Jesus as Lord and you need to come, say, "Grant, man, I need to give my life to Jesus. I'll be right here. Won't move." Christians can come and pray. You pray. If you need to talk to me and say, "I need to give my life to Jesus," come. And we'll call upon the name of the Lord. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much.
thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you that you have given us a hope and you have filled us with joy. Lord, that your anger doesn't have to stay on us, but it can be turned away. And instead of your wrath, we can receive your mercy through Jesus. Father, thank you for saving. Thank you for calling. Thank you for your redeeming. Lord, help us to sing about it. Help us to shout it. Help us to let it be known to those around us. May we declare your goodness, Lord. Father, someone here today, they don't know you in a personal way. And today you're speaking to them. And you're asking them just to simply step out and trust you. Lord, enable them. Empower them. Give them that ability to step out and say, I need to trust in Jesus and turn from my sin and follow him. Lord, do your work. And we'll never forget to give you the praise and glory and honor for it all. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand. Let's sing. Let's respond. Let's come.